It's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Yeah.
On the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank show. Thank you for joining us Friday, April 21st. You survived 420. Well, of course you are. We got Craig Gass with us today, sitting in for Heidi and Lisa May. Going to be doing the news.
It's a dude show. We got a bunch of dudes.
It's the dudes.
Talking about what guys talk about, right, dude? Right, bro?
Look, I see Stephen Kramer Glickman. He's already here. He's so excited. He's in the green room right now,
Steven.
So we're going to get him in here later to hang out with us. Stephen's got a big show, the nighttime show at the Hollywood Improv. It's going to be this Saturday at 10 p.m. For tickets, you can go to hollywood.improv.com. And then just keep the comedy ball rolling down to see Craig Gass and friends. They'll be performing this Sunday night at the Comedy Store, and tickets go to Get Gas with two S's, getgas.com.
A lot of comedians stepping in. I always like to put one surprise in there. We had Whitney Cummings last time. We got a big one for this Sunday at the Comedy Store.
You mentioned earlier in the hour, sometimes your shows, you have lots of friends you've invited. Is it tougher to perform when the audience is full of people you know?
Not if they're musicians. I mean, like, when rock stars come out, they're so easily entertained. So that's, you know, it's when other comedians are in the room that you feel a little,
yeah, you know, yeah, little, kind of like, weird.
Oh, man, I hope this goes well.
You know? Invite comedians not as funny as you.
Then yeah. But there's always comedians waiting to go on, and especially at the Comedy Store, there's three different rooms, so there's comedians floating in and out, and you'll be on stage, and you'll see somebody who you really respect walking in, and you go, oh, man, I gotta, you know.
If you're, let's say you're third in a lineup of four comedians, whatever. If you're waiting backstage and you see the comedian in front of you is just killing it, do you secretly go, damn it, he's too funny, I don't have to follow the funny guy?
It doesn't even hit your radar, because that's the rhythm you should be hearing when someone's on stage. It's when someone's not doing well. And there's this weird sick thing where you get a kick out of watching somebody struggle. Everybody, all comedians have great bombing stories love to share with each other. There's a club that I just heard one, a club we all started at in New York called the Boston Comedy Club. Dane Cook had an amazing story about doing a show there at 2 o'clock in the morning. No, 1:30 in the morning. He's on stage. There's six people in the room. One of the six people has all of his groceries on the table with him. Because when you walk by the comedy club, there's a guy out front going, come on in, comedy show, come in, no covers. Like, I got my groceries. Like, oh, I'll help you with the groceries. Come on in. Just two drink minimum. And so Dane is on stage and he's bombing in front of six people. And they're all hammered. One of the six people gets up and stumbles to the bathroom and starts violently vomiting in the bathroom. The other five people are looking over and distracted, like, what is going on? Then there's a long pause, and then toilet flushes. Guy comes back out, walks back over to his seat, and Dane Cook's on stage, and he goes, you okay, buddy? You feeling all right there? And the guy goes, oh, no, I had some bad comedy. And everyone's like, oh! And the guy with the groceries is like, ah! Throwing his groceries up in the air. Crowd just owned him. So there's always empathy from the comedians in the back while being wildly entertained. I don't know what the radio equivalent of that is. Maybe like when you do an appearance somewhere and it's not going over well, when you do an appearance at a...
There really isn't, because we don't have that instant feedback. I mean, we're you know, in here for each other. We'll rip on each other right away for
But
a
when you go
joke.
Out and do appearances...
But, yeah, well...
Or introduce
Because we
bands?
Have to do, like, a live show sometimes.
Okay.
Oh, introducing bands. You're never going to get a response from the audience.
Right.
It's a waste of time. It's like, everybody having fun tonight, and we're not out there to tell jokes. We're out there to introduce a band. It's
right.
Like, nobody wants to see you. Who the hell is this guy? Get him off the stage. We have to do that at Sabroso. And, you know, nobody really, I mean, half the place knew who we were, half the place didn't. So, and everybody's partying, having a good time, beer tasting going on around us. No one's paying attention.
You ever had a stage manager before you walk out say to you, just go out there for 5 minutes and mistakenly think that you could just stay out there? Do you ever?
Right.
Sometimes you get somebody who thinks, like, you can do it. And you'll just tell the stage manager, I'm going to introduce the band and I'm walking off.
Yeah. We had to do that at the Ventura County Blues Festival. It's so awesome. And we were out there just going to be as an appearance. So they're coming out. And they said, okay, go on stage. You know, you got about 15 minutes for it. I'm like, 15 minutes?
15.
We don't have 15 minutes.
Yeah, we're just saying
so,
hello. And...
Yeah, it was about 3 minutes and then about 12 minutes of people waiting, watching the stage manager and everybody just move stuff around on stage. But I went out there and it was in Simi Valley. And I'm like, hey, you know, we're Frosty, Johnny, Frank. From, you know, 95.5
Underplaying
KLOS.
It. All right.
Yeah. And you know you're at a Simi Valley Blues Festival if there's not one black person here.
Oh, nice start there, Frank.
And the reaction?
I was like, you almost hear the record scratch. But he looks up, maybe one person. He's a black guy. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't see you, buddy. Have a good time. And then I was off the stage. Oh, we don't have that. We're not comedians.
I did a show in Omaha, Nebraska once where the guy who was opening for me was obsessed with someone on the left side of the stage, and he kept doing his act, and then he finally went, Miss, am I that ugly that you won't even look at me? I mean, well, she won't even look me in the face. You keep looking away. I mean, are you freaking blind or something? Oh, is she blind? Oh, my God, I'm sorry. And then he stopped, pivoted, and went back into his set and said, so, you guys ever go to Walmart? And everyone's like, who cares about Walmart? You made fun of a blind woman! Sorry. Like, and the only people laughing are me and the other comedians right in the back of the room. Because it's you get a sick thrill out of watching somebody else struggle up there. But I think when you're a radio guy and you go out on stage, you introduce an act, it's like sometimes you have an expectation in your mind that people are going to be like, yeah.
Yeah, do the show.
And when you don't feel it, mm-hmm. Oh, man.
There's a weird thing. Now, I'm not saying it applies here at this radio station, but at most radio stations, each show has a secret wish to beat the other shows in the ratings.
Right.
You want to be the highest rated show of the radio station, which has always been us. But you always have that secret desire. You don't want someone else to outperform you, so to speak.
Right.
So you wish everyone else at the station to do well, but not better than you.
I get that.
I wish you success, but not a whole lot.
I get that. Comedians are like that, too. You know, when someone like Dane gets really, really hot and people are like, ugh, you hear grumbling from comedians. For me personally, I think it's great because it's like, oh, cool. That guy opened up a door for other guys to walk through. I get excited when it, plus it's kind of cool for me to watch a friend of mine on the Tonight Show that I can actually text and go, dude, that was awesome. Like, I can actually text that guy.
No, if it wasn't awesome, would you text him and go, oh man, bombing on the Tonight Show?
Well, I mean, I'm always supportive. Plus, I don't know about you, but one of my favorite pastimes, I shouldn't admit this, is when I see someone I know on TV or in movies, I like to exaggerate my friendship with that person.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you do, but I like to. Like, if I'm in the middle of a movie and I see a cameo where I go, oh, Dave! I know him. I could text him right now if I had his number. That's Dave. We just did a set together about 4 years ago in La Jolla.
I did that yesterday when the Schmoes were on. It was talking about movies opening up in theaters this weekend, and one's called Unforgettable with Katherine Heigl. Or Unforgivable, something like that.
Unforgettable.
I already forgot. Yeah. Is that ironic that I forgot
that? Yes, it is.
Katherine Heigl and Jeff Stoltz. And this guy's just, I mean, he's been on a few things, but I went to acting class with that guy when I first moved out to Los Angeles, really? Like 25 years ago. I'm like, hey, yeah, we're old buddies.
Of course.
Acting class, taught him everything he knows.
Yeah. Oh, I'll throw in something like, that guy taught me how to kiss when I was in high school. I'll just throw in something weird.
You mentioned the blind girl earlier at the comedy show. Was it your parents that are deaf?
Yes, my family's deaf.
Your whole family. Sisters, you have how many siblings?
I have a sister, a mom, and dad. Although something interesting happened around Christmas time. My mom told me that that's not my real dad.
Oh.
Which is completely out of left field. She says my real dad actually had his hearing. She had an affair. And so, which is...
So you have your real dad's ears.
Yes, I do. Exactly. And but I grew up in a deaf family so I couldn't learn how to talk from my family. I learned how to talk by copying all the voices I heard.
Were they always deaf? Do they all lose their hearing at once in a tragic accident of some kind?
My dad, the guy who I thought was my dad, was born with all of his hearing and then lost over 75% of it when he was a kid. He got into an accident that popped out his eardrums.
Oh.
And so he had to...
What accident pops out your eardrums?
He got into a car accident
and
then
flew into a cymbal.
Yeah. So
it was completely insensitive, but Craig couldn't deny it was funny.
I mean, I hear, like, you know, from comedians, I hear the most insensitive. I always tell the story on stage about Tracy Morgan walking up to me and going, so, Craig, your whole family's, like, retarded, right? I was like, retarded? No, they're deaf. They're they can't, they just can't hear. Okay. So can they see? Yes! Yeah. But so my mom was born completely deaf, birth defect. And my dad was born with all of his hearing, lost over 75% of it when he was a kid.
So why is your sister deaf?
And my sister was born with my mom's genes, completely deaf. And then I was born with who I've just, you know, originally I thought it was my, the guy who I thought was my dad was born with all of his hearing, so I thought I inherited his genes. But I'm finding out now is there is somebody else that, but I grew up in a deaf family, learned sign language, and
this is a stoner thought, maybe more suited to yesterday, but since your mother and sister have never heard sound, do they think you just mouth for a living?
Yeah, good point.
Because they've never heard comedians.
What language do they speak in their head?
Speak fluent Russian. But they, yeah, you know what? It's weird. I do have to point out, sometimes I get people think like, oh, you shouldn't say things about this guy's family because they're deaf. You should be more sensitive. The most insensitive deaf jokes I've ever heard in my life were from my own deaf family. So I last summer, my sister had a big birthday. She turned 50, and we had a surprise birthday party for her. I took her out to dinner, and at dinner, my sister was signing to me, and she said, do you want to hear a good joke? And I said, sure. And she said, me too. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh. Jesus, wow. That's up. Yeah. She... So, yes, I learned, I started doing impressions when I was a kid, and the impressions didn't involve any voices. I would just do impressions of body language. And whenever I do an impression of somebody now, I still think of body language. Like if I'm doing Adam Sandler, and he's nervous, you know, I can't look you in the eye, shibby-doo. And, but Al Pacino will look right through you. Like he's looking into your soul. I like how ticklish Frosty gets.
Gucci, Gucci, goo.
Look at Pacino eyes over here. Look at this guy.
Look at this cute little baby. You want some KFC? You know that stands for Kentucky Fried Chicken. Hoo-ah.
Yeah, or Tom Arnold is very nervous. You know, he is by kind of a nervous guy.
And Christopher Walken is strange. There's no defining rhythm. He'll talk every once in a while. He'll stop, and then he'll keep going.
So over Christmas, you found out this news. I'm gonna go back to that. You found out the news that what you thought was your dad your whole life. And how old are you now?
I'm 47.
So at 47,
yeah,
you find out the guy you called dad 47 years,
yes,
is not your father. Do you know? Did she say? And it's this guy.
I'm starting to. I was never close to my dad, the guy who I thought was my dad. I was never close to him, so it didn't matter. It wasn't like earth shattering. Like that's not the guy who I didn't know him that well, so that wasn't an issue. But trying to figure out, I wonder what the rest of the pieces are. And the way it came out is my mom broke her hip, and I went to go surprise her in this home that she's been living at. And I said, hey, surprise, and she goes, hey, get over here, I have a surprise I want to tell you. And I go, what's that? And she goes, just want you to know that Joel's not your dad. And I go, what?
Your father's Rich Little.
Yeah, exactly. It makes sense now. Everything makes sense now.
His dad hated that he couldn't do a Ronald Reagan impression.
but it was a big bombshell. And she said, you know, your sister's been asking questions for years. She thought something was off. But this is the truth. This is what's going on. So
was this during the opening of gifts or passing of the peas at Christmas dinner? I mean, when did she decide to tell? Did she pull you aside?
Pass the DNA test, Mom.
Was she getting wasted on eggnog? And she's like, I gotta tell you.
She just threw that out when I first arrived into Tucson to surprise her. So,
do you think any less of mom now? Because she was like, not a loose woman, but I mean, she's not the mom you thought she was.
Yeah, I guess that's the reason why she held it so close to the vest is because at the time when it happened, which is 1970, it was really scandalous at the time. I mean, it's still scandalous, but at the time, there was a tremendous amount of judgment that would have happened. So she didn't say anything about it. And I have some details, and then I submitted to a company to test your DNA to, you know, try to put together your family tree. I found some cousins, and I also found something that blew my mind that I wasn't even I'm Irish.
Like, really? Like,
yeah. It was the weirdest. It's bizarre. So I'm piecing it all together. It's obviously this is not it's not a funny story. If you come to the Comedy Store on Sunday, right. I promise I'll be funny. I'm usually hilarious, but yeah.
But that's a great. I mean, it's a life story. I mean,
a crazy curveball.
There's people out there. I mean, you're 47 years old and find out one of your parents is not your real parents. I mean, I'm sure there's people out there who are thinking to themselves, I wonder if my dad's my real dad. I'm sure there have been doubts. Like you said, your sister started doubting.
My sister had doubts for forever. She kept pestering my mom. And then
I had doubts because when I met your mom, she's like, oh, man, Craig, he's one funny bastard. And I was like, really?
There's no way. There's no way. But yeah.
I don't think I'd want to know. I know she told you, but I don't think I'd want to know. Because now you might be inclined to find the real dad who wants nothing to do with you. And now you can look at your family differently.
He might come after all your money.
It can go either way. And I have some basic information. And I'm just going to try to find out some information. I'd like to know health-wise, what's going on in the history, you know, of my family. And
see, I wouldn't want to know that either, because let's say you find out you have a 99% chance of dying of fill in the blank. Now, every time you get a pimple, it's like, oh, my God, I've got it.
True.
True. Don't tell me this.
But I think it's good to know. So I'm doing my due diligence in trying to figure this out. But it's weird.
Like, you probably have brothers and sisters, too. Right?
I have several sisters, several half-sisters, and I've reached out to people on this DNA ancestry thing, and I've said, hey, cousin, they haven't heard back yet. And I want to say, listen, I'm a stand-up comedian, but I feel like that might get more of a response, but then again, it might not be the response I want. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so
this makes fascinating documentary. We can
But what was interesting was growing up in a deaf family was I grew up in the Bronx. I never got an accent, and everyone in the Bronx has a really. Everybody sounds like Tracy Morgan. Hey, whether you black or white, this is how you sound. Hey, this is the voice of your next door neighbor, and I'm a Vietnamese girl. That's crazy. Hey, this is the voice of your mailman, and I'm transitioning. Come get your mail, baby. Yeah.
So how did you escape the Bronx without having a Bronx accent? Because really, you're the guy with the accent now when you go back because you don't have the accent.
Right. Well,
how did it not infect you?
Because nobody talked in the house. And the way I learned how to talk was copying all the voices I heard on TV. So I was always mimicking everything I heard on TV, and I would adjust and morph into whatever voices I heard on TV. So it was weird. It was a weird, which led to doing voiceover stuff with Family Guy and American Dad, because I've always had a knack for doing voices. And in radio, being able to be a celebrity in studio saying awful things really lends itself to fun radio. So
your mom had an affair.
Yeah.
Was it a guy passing through town, or was it a guy who lives in town then he lives on the other side of town? Maybe your sisters went to an opposite high school, and then maybe you hooked up with a sister at some point, and you had no idea it was your sister.
Friend, well, you know what? It's really interesting you say that, because when I talked to my sister about, like, well, what did you hear? She said, well, I always suspected that this guy was your dad. And I just went, if that's true, then I lost my virginity to my half sister. If that's true. But thank God it's not. Thank God.
How do you know it's not?
I know.
It's a theory. We don't have the paternity test. We have no idea that might be your dad.
Yeah. I can't believe I said that out loud.
I will pay for the paternity test to find out if you had sex with if you lost your virginity to your half sister. I will pay for the test. Oh, my God.
You know, it's weird. I'm checking in on ticket sales right now at the Comedy Store. We're actually losing ticket sales right now for the comedy show on Sunday night. It's the weirdest thing.
Definitely. Go to getgas.com, G-A-S. Getgas.com. Get your tickets for Sunday Night Comedy Store.
8:30 p.m. in the main room of the Comedy Store.
All right, we're going to take a 2-minute break with some special offers here. Only 2 minutes and get some traffic. When we come back, Sam Kinison's going to give us the news.
What?